Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug, ignored a leaky faucet, pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look like that? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects, but there's an easier way. When you download Thumbtack, it's easier to care for your home from top to bottom. Pull out your phone and in just a few taps, you can search, chat, and book highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next, because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. So say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects, and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
Welding instructor Alex DeClaire knows firsthand how VR training platforms like ForgeFX can help meet the demand for skilled workers.
Anywhere you go look, there's going to be a shortage of welders.
VR training can help welding students learn the skills they need to begin and advance in their career.
The beauty of virtual reality is it simulates that exact muscle memory that they need.
Explore more stories like Alex's at meta.com/metaverseimpact.
We're coming, and we ain't backing down.
We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Shut up!
I'm bitterly disappointed with the officiating today.
Guys being dudes.
And they run through our like through a tin horn, man.
Split Zone Duo, my name is Stephen Godfrey at 38 Godfrey at Split Zone Duo, splitzoneduo.com. Thank you so much for your support. It's been a week. Has it not, folks? I just had to check to make sure, but yes, it is Sunday morning as I record this. 8 days ago, we had SCD Live. We came back. I went straight to AFCA. You'll hear more about that on some near future shows. Richard and I have a massive eyes list coming up that will include the hire of Kalen DeBoer at Alabama, as well as just everything else that's kind of gone on, as well as some key assistant hires and some questions you guys have had. So I came to AFCA. Then you had Saban. The national title game's in there. We're still watching Harbaugh. It's been crazy. We appreciate your support. We are catching up, readjusting, and essentially finishing out some travel. I'm home in Nashville. I think the boys are both on the road in some respect. So this is sort of a minor programming note. You should be getting this by MLK January 15th. This episode was recorded with Roger Sherman. I want to say, well, actually, never mind. I told our producer, Anthony, to keep it in there. This was a spur-of-the-moment podcast that ends in a very specific point in time, which was the actual retirement of Nick Saban was announced right as the show ended and Roger was looking at his phone. Yeah, I thought it would just be funny. I mean, hey, you always want to remember where you were when. So Roger Sherman, if for some reason you don't know him in our little sort of corner of college football internet world, Roger goes back to the original days at SB Nation, the pre-Banner Society, SB Nation, college football, all that kind of stuff. Went to work for The Ringer and then just sort of magically quit his job this past summer, and said, you're going to hear him talk about it, but, you know, he was a guy who covered college football, wrote about college football, wrote extremely well and thoughtfully and is very talented, but had never really like lived it in the stadium. So he went to every football game he could in one season with very little prep. It's kind of amazing. It's very amazing. I'll let him tell the story. If you followed him on at Roger, which, by the way, great Twitter get back in the day, RODGER at Roger, he went across the country. You saw most of this. There's a link tree up on his Twitter profile. He's in the process of putting together kind of like a finalized, I guess he did use the word like documentary, so he shot a lot of videos, so he's going to put something together on that. There's information on how to support Roger over there. Road Raj essentially was the name of the project, and he got a sponsor. I ran into him in week zero, Hawaii Vanderbilt, as he was just kind of hatching the scheme. And then ironically, the other day, the reason this came about was Roger had to return a rental car back to Nashville, where he had sort of started his year, and it was out kind of nearish the airport here in Nashville. And I was like, oh, hey, like, let's do a debrief. So I got him in an Uber and I brought him over to my office in Nashville. And this was no setup, no prep, no nothing. I have these tiny little lapel mics that Bluetooth to a thing that you stick into your cell phone. And that was the whole setup. So we just found a corner in kind of like the cafeteria area of my the office complex I'm working out of, and just sat down and talked. And then I helped him pack to go home. He had a lot of random things that he had to offload in my office refrigerator and kind of get a bunch of home field clothes and random stuff into like a workable bag to fly back to New York City. But we just kind of talked off the cuff and discussed what it was like to, in a lot of ways, and I say this in the interview, Roger had the opposite of a lot of us this year, in which there was very little, if any, focus on the existential crisis in college sports. And it was a pure celebration, experiential celebration, visceral, you know, driving to fun, you know, fun rivalry games like Bedlam, and then awesome NAIA games in the middle of nowhere in schools you've never heard of. Just kind of what it's supposed to be. So without any further delay, this is my conversation with Roger Sherman at Roger Road Raj 2023.
I have this vivid memory of finding out about your journey, mission, vision quest. Brian Nanny and I were talking about the same time. He obviously lives here. And then I saw you at the week zero
Vanderbilt, Hawaii
game. And you and I talked briefly in like at the Breezeway, which, if you don't know, or certainly as we're recording this, Vanderbilt Stadium, very much under renovation construction, right?
I just walked by it to do a full circle thing. It's even more under construction.
It got worse, didn't it? It's crazy because I drive by it every day. And I remember asking you like a couple questions, and it was very clear to me that, one, you were so happy.
Yeah.
And two, you could see maybe a day or two in front of you and that's it. And the combination of those two things inspired equal parts. I felt gratitude on your behalf and excitement for you. And then also tremendous anxiety because I remember asking you, you were like, no, I'll go anywhere. Like it was like, there was no like, oh, it's going to be Power Five or this school or these events. What was the methodology as it came? I know you looked a little bit at schedules because we had talked a little bit, but that was about it, right?
So first of all, my name is Roger Sherman.
Oh, we're going to do an intro for it, I promise. No, I'll like tape an intro and
play. The methodology.
Ooh, do you want to plug anything?
No, I don't have anything to plug.
You're coated in Money Lion gear right now. Do you want to thank them?
Yes, I do want to. I have people to thank. That's true.
There you go.
The methodology, I wanted to see as many places as possible.
Okay.
At the beginning of the year, I was asking people on Patreon to decide for me. And then towards the end of the year, I kind of had a little bit more of a clear vision. Like, because I think from the week before rivalry week on, I knew where I wanted to go.
Okay.
That I wanted to see as many places as possible, go to as many states as possible, see as many levels of the sport as possible. You know, I saw Division III games. I saw one junior college game. I saw FBS, FCS, HBCU games, NAIA games. I think the driving thing for me this year was seeing things that I thought were changing about the sport.
Oh, okay.
Because, so like, the games I wanted to see more than any other game were the last Bedlam game. Huge payoff there.
You knew going in, I'm going to find a way to get there.
I'm going to find a way to get there no matter what.
Okay.
Huge payoff there. Oklahoma State beating Oklahoma. One of the best days of the year.
Is that the game that you would point to in terms of just, I attended this and it was everything from like good football, good narrative.
Yeah, it really was. That was that and I think Red River. Not that I'm somehow just like exclusively an Oklahoma Sooners blogger, apparently.
Sure.
But I would say those are the two games that stand out to me. I also wanted to see the last game between Oregon and Oregon State in the last Apple Cup game, but it turns out they weren't actually the last ones, and also both Oregon State and Washington State lost. But I had those three circled because I thought they kind of represented something that's changing about the sport, something that people are passionate about that's going away for reasons that aren't actually related to what people want.
As far as I can, or the sort of operating knowledge I had on your project was, you and I were colleagues at SB Nation. You grew up in New York City, you went to Northwestern.
Yes.
And as far back as I can remember working with you, you were as passionate for college football as anyone who would come from a more sort of stereotypical college football place.
I would say that's a great intro. You did say we were going to do an intro, huh?
Yeah.
I don't want to say more passionate because...
Well, certainly equal.
It's a different sort of thing because I think it's always been driven by a curiosity and almost a fascination with the passion that people have for college football.
Yeah.
I
didn't know you were a Northwestern grad or that you had worked at the Northwestern team site. And
for
I was just consumed, you know, I was at SB Nation and at the time I was sort of like whatever their version of the National Reporter was. And I remember reading your stuff first and meeting you. And then like when I met you, cause we just had lunch and we were talking about accents. I just assumed that you were like from Ohio or maybe even honestly like one of the more anonymous suburbs like Dallas or something like that. And you went to, we did go to a Big Ten school, but you know, like you had a much more traditional background. And then I find out you're from New York City, but then jump forward to this project professionally, you know, personally you grew up in New York City, but then professionally you're there as one does in the media. You relocate to LA because you were working for The Ringer.
Uh-huh.
And I remember something you said was so simple and really honest to me in that breezeway at Vanderbilt. And I hadn't seen you in a long time. You were just like, I haven't seen this sport.
No, that was the thing. Like, I'd been to Northwestern games. I grew up, I would say probably my first passion was, the NBA.
Right. You're a big Knicks fan. Yeah.
Big Knicks fan. Really liked college basketball. The Big East tournament was always at MSG. And,
that seems like a cool local thing to rally around.
And back in like the 90s, it really was. And I think that sort of, just going to wait for the ice to stop.
No, you're good.
I think that that sort of like regional college sports thing that people will care about, even if they're not directly affiliated with any of the teams, is a thing that still interests me, you know? People in the Midwest like the Big Ten. People on the West Coast like the Pac-12, RIP. You know, it's like...
And help me here just as a Southerner because I'm trying to remember old Big East alignment. That's your region. So growing up in New York, you're an hour, a couple hours from most of those places.
Yeah, you know, Providence, UConn, Georgetown,
right.
Villanova, St. John's, which is in New York.
Yeah.
All on the Acela corridor.
There you go.
I've ever actually been on the
Acela. On an Acela before.
I've only ever taken the slow train.
That's not bad.
So, anyway, I liked the NFL, but really didn't have any college football ties. New York does not have a college football thing.
All jokes aside, it is not the city of Rutgers.
No, I did go to two games in New York City this year. I went to a Columbia game with my wife, who is currently in grad school at Columbia, and I went to Syracuse, Pittsburgh at Yankee Stadium, but I would not say that it.
Are the sight lines as bad as I've been told?
It was a deeply strange day.
Yeah.
You know what the weirdest part of it was, like, besides the fact that there's like a warning track around the field, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
That they didn't know what stats to put on the scoreboard. They kept flashing each team's amount of total tackles made.
Perfect.
Which is not a statistic I've ever seen cited at any level.
Usually not prominent information.
No, that's the amount of plays the opposing team ran, which ended in bounds, I guess.
Yeah.
It's not actually...
That's an interesting way to... Yeah, you're right.
No,
deconstructing it, right. Yeah.
Right.
The only way they can end is it. Yeah.
You could put that stat on, and the higher it is, probably the worse you're playing.
Okay.
Anyway, long story short, New York does not have a college football thing. So I went to Northwestern and I got into the team there. But more importantly, I can see that all of the visiting fans at Northwestern were having a lot of fun in ways that people at Northwestern do not. And
okay.
got more and more curious about that culture. Worked for the team blog, got a job at SB Nation.
Do you remember which fan base it was where you're like, oh, there's this, this is, I like the ritual here. I like the energy. I like the sort of reverence.
Working at it from across a parking lot, but it was every week.
Okay.
You know,
so it was consistent.
This week, the Minnesota fans are here.
Yeah.
Trying to spell out the word Minnesota. One of their chants spells out the word Minnesota.
Right.
And that was like the dedication to get through all 11 yes. letters there.
It's not like you're just yelling out Ohio, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's easy. Wisconsin, probably the people who showed up in the largest, most ridiculous. There would probably be more fans of the other team if it was Ohio State or Michigan, but Wisconsin definitely has the most energy. So anyway, then I went to SB Nation, and I was interacting with all these big college football minds, you and Spencer and Jason, and working with them and sort of getting that insight.
But yeah, you're in the sort of...
I was just at home. I was at home writing about these things.
You're in the golden era of when we were doing all the weird and like there... I don't think we ever said no to anything.
No, you guys sent me to the Bahamas Bowl.
That's right. I remember that. We did worry a lot about you, which is funny because this is a little bit of a segue. I remember having a conversation with Brian Floyd at the time, and it was like, we got to make sure like Ryder travels safe. Like, because you were a bit younger than a lot of us in that original crew.
I was 24 years old.
Holy shit. Okay, so you were a lot younger than some of us in that crew.
A 24-year-old who had been employed at SB Nation for about 15 months.
To the Bahamas Bowl.
On an international journey.
Yes. Well, to our credit, we did worry a bit. And that was probably the extent of our HR policy, because we were like, all right, well, I hope he's okay.
The real... Sending me to Brazil for the Olympics was a much bigger...
Now, that one we had daily meetings about Roger. I do remember that. What, like, Roger's going international. What if Roger gets Zika? What if Roger die? I do remember this. So this is not a bit. When you first told me about this project, the logistics, it was like my dad brain couldn't help it.
Yeah.
And the logistics,
Luckily, all those people at SB Nation I worked with, now I have children and their instincts really snapped in.
Yes. Yes.
So many of my forward coworkers have either given me places to stay along the way, advice, or just like connected me to safety in some way.
Okay.
So thankfully you guys.
Week zero, Hawaii plays Vanderbilt, games, whatever. You then start taking off. And I remember you said something to the effect of like, we'll see how long this goes, and or something like, you know, I've got a couple ideas. When did it become like real? How many games in?
I mean, it became real probably when I quit my job.
Oh, so you knew, no, this is happening regardless of if I need a rental car or if I have to take planes or.
Yeah, I talked it all out with my wife, and I quit my job about a week before I saw you. You know, like to put in my 2 weeks notice 3 weeks before then, but
yeah,
you know, but, I would say I never really felt like I was going to make it all the way to the end until probably bowl season hit and you can map it all out.
And you, okay, at that point, you're just like, well, I did it.
And you can see the end, you know? I like.
And how many bowls did you do?
Just 10.
Just
10. Well, I could have, like, if I really maxed it out, I could have probably done 12 or 13. They don't really portion them out in a drivable way.
Yeah, there's no rhythm to it, is there?
No. Luckily, like, I was able to knock out all the Floridas, and I was able to knock out 2 Alabamas in a day. But, like, there are 3 bowls in Alabama played on the same day, and they didn't space them out. Anyway, I'm meandering.
Yeah, that's okay.
When did I know it was, I don't know, like, I think there was always a part of me that was like, if things aren't going well, you could go home and figure things out.
Right, like, right.
When it turned into, like, I regrouped after the Army-Navy game and was able to plan out every game from that point on. And, you know, I
basically that bowl and championship season, that's when you could actually get a little bit more and, with the sort of uppercase L logistics.
Yeah. And like I talked it through with my wife. I was like, there's 3 weeks left. I'm going to do it. And I did it. But it definitely was a lot of just like, I think you said it earlier that I could only see past the next day.
Yeah.
And I think that remained true even in parts where I had the schedule planned out a little bit more. Like, I knew that I was going to go to Oregon and Washington for those two rivalry weekends.
Right.
But the process of getting out there, all that sort of stuff.
Nothing.
Like, where you're going to stay that night. Typically, I would figure out where I was staying most nights if I didn't have, like, a friend or a colleague who was going to take me into their home.
Yeah.
I would just open up, like, the hotel apps at, like, 9:30, 10 at night. Sometimes, like, after a game ended, see what was available nearby.
Were you ever stranded or stuck? Are there nights sleeping in the car?
I slept in the car, I think, probably, like, 7 or 8 nights.
Okay.
I try not to do it in the northern parts of the country because it's cold. Want to die. If I knew that the time constraints were such that I wasn't going to be able to get more than 5 hours of sleep, I figured I'm not going to waste money on a hotel.
Okay.
5 hours, I think, was my number. If I'm going to get more than 5 hours of sleep, I'll get a hotel.
It's worth getting the hotel.
If it's less than that, I'm staying
in
the car.
Off the top of your head, how many games total?
62.
Do you know how many states?
43.
You did go home to New York at one point, right?
I went to New York a lot.
They had the Columbia game.
I went to New York a lot early in the year and only twice in the last. Because before the Maxion hits.
Yes.
Before the Maxion hits, I was going home every week.
Okay. When midweek games start at midseason in October.
We're actually started in September this year because of
conference. Yes, that's where I was headed with this. Because one conversation you and I had was, I was trying to think of bridge games, and the only one that I could think of that wasn't just repeating was there was a Western Kentucky Liberty game.
Which I went to.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
These Tuesday nights turn into suddenly, like, are you looking on the map and just sort of figuring out,
can I get there in 10 hours? That's how it works. And that's why I wasn't able to get out west earlier in the year, because the conferences that do the midweek games, the CUSA and the MAC, are midwest, mid-south.
Right. You're like a territorial pro wrestler at this point.
Mid-south, I feel like, is a word that only gets used.
Mid-south wrestling, based out of Memphis, yeah.
Hit a note in your head.
Okay, what is the, in your opinion, what is the state of MACtion?
What is the state of it?
State of MACtion, right? We've talked a lot on our show about how maybe the bloom is off the rose and the novelty is worn off on having these games. No one shows up. I was just at the coaches convention a couple of days ago, and I had a coach almost sort of talk me into believing that, like, FCS teams can the average FCS team now can out-environment the Mavs. Because
I would say so. But
okay.
So here's everyone I talk to at any weeknight game, whether it is a MAC game, Eastern Carolina or East Carolina. Wow.
They will tell you.
Whether it's East Carolina, I'm trying to think of Spanish, Western Kentucky. Everyone I went to, they're like, oh, you should be here on a Saturday. Except for Virginia Tech. They were like, we do Thursday nights. We are Thursday night school.
I think
Virginia Tech was like,
yeah. I think that's true.
And then throwing turkey legs at me. Like, yeah, you picked the right night, asshole.
Okay.
So everyone is like that. However, I went to probably 6 MACtion games.
Okay.
And 4 of them were dead.
Ooh.
You could walk anywhere in the stadium you want. You could just walk around. Still had a fun time. I had a great time at a Miami, Ohio game with no one at it on a Wednesday night.
How much did you get in for?
I actually paid like face value for the ticket.
Ooh.
I know. It was like $17 or something like that.
Okay, that's not terrible. I thought you were going to say something like $45.
No, I think it was almost like so few people had tickets that, like, normally someone's like, oh, I'll give you a ticket for free. But I think it was like so few people had tickets.
Really?
I bought one at the entrance, and it was, I think, $11 plus some tax or something like that. Worked out to like $17, $18. I was hoping to get it for free. Anyway, that game was actually fun because you could just walk anywhere. It's nice steam. atmosphere wise. I went to Central Western in Kalamazoo, Central Michigan versus Western Michigan.
Okay.
And I went to Bowling Green Toledo in Bowling Green. Two games between schools that actually have a rivalry, actually do not like each other, actually are close enough that the fans of the school can go to the road game. And even though those games are on Tuesday, Wednesday nights, it didn't matter.
They were hot.
The atmosphere, if people at your school care enough to have a chant that says, fuck blank school.
Right.
The atmosphere, it will not matter if it is a Tuesday or Wednesday night.
This is good to know.
I would
even say, mid-season or middle of the...
Western was having a terrible season, and they don't like Central.
Yeah.
Okay. These are kids who went to high school with, like...
each other, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They... most of their classes either went to Western or Central. Bowling Green and Toledo are, I think, 15 miles apart, maybe less. So, like, the rivalry name is the war, like, the battle for whatever highway it is.
It's and weird how that
highway was
that,
packed.
That happens a lot in the MAC, because I know Kent and Akron are like a stone's throw from each other.
Akron was completely empty. I went to Kent Akron T.
I would say understandably so.
It was tough
run right now.
It was 1-9 versus 1-9.
Yeah.
That was the game I flew in the Goodyear blimp.
Which, so, honestly...
much warmer up in the blimp than down on the ground.
Better idea, I would say, than actually witnessing that game in person.
At the Bowling Green Toledo game, and the Toledo fans showed up and they literally stormed the field at Bowling Green.
I remember, again, I think one of the beautiful parts of your journey was, and I said this to you at lunch, we would sort of forget where Roger was. And
then all of a sudden, I'm in a car and Toledo fans stormed.
Right. The field. And then I'm like, oh, and oh, it would be like, oh, he's there. And oh, this wonderful little thing that's not necessarily A1 headline material for what's going on in the season is happening. And this is not so much a question as it is a reflection. In my opinion, regardless of who won, you know, it has nothing to do with Michigan or the playoff field or Florida State or anything. The sheer volume of uncertainty caused by shitty things in the future and current of the sport.
Yeah, so.
Like, I was fairly pissed off most of this season at college football. And then I would see you.
Having a good time.
And I think it's like.
Because I specialized in going to the games where I thought people might care about it.
Like, yeah.
That was. We're going back and answering the first question you asked me. That was my methodology. Find the games people might care about. So specifically to Toledo. I went to a game at Toledo in the Glass Bowl. Toledo versus Buffalo. Those are different sides of Lake Erie.
Yes. Or, yes.
I'm just making sure I'm getting my lakes right, I think.
I believe, yeah, Buffalo's Lake Erie.
Yeah.
See the guy from the south.
You'd have to hop on a steamer of some sort to get between those places.
Oh, no, it is because kids road trip, Lake Erie, Buffalo. I am correct.
There was no one at that game.
Okay.
I think there are more Toledo fans at the Toledo Bowling Green game with the other team. And long story short, I think we can talk all we want about what dates and times and locations the games are played in. The important thing is always going to be that legitimate passion.
No doubt.
You can play a game between two teams that hate each other anywhere, anytime. And I think the passion will shine through. But so often we try to force stuff to fill windows or fill stadiums.
Right.
And that will never work. I think that, like, I mean, it might generate money because people will flip on their TVs, or, you know, it might fill some allotment that they need to fill, but location wise. But I really do think the energy from two teams that don't like each other cannot be broken, no matter what you try to do to it. It'll stay, and people will care about it and love it. And that's maybe a roundabout way of getting back to your answer about the MAC situation, because most of those games are dead. And I saw a lot of dead games out there just because we put so many teams and games against teams that they don't care about or have any.
Yeah, which kind of seems to be by design. Yeah.
Aren't in the right state or aren't in the right part of the country. And it's like, you know, the very basic element of the sport is my college is near your college. Let's play a football game against each other.
Right.
And now it's like we're trying to connect the dots inorganically.
Yeah.
And I have so far all of the results. So wine keeps going up.
Right.
People are still watching.
Sure. Yeah. It's been a bull market for decades.
I do. Part of me wonders if we will push it to the point where wine stop going up.
Okay. So along those lines, we talked about Bedlam. You went to Power Five games and you didn't make it a point to go to quote unquote big games or anything like that. When you went to big games or Power Five games, because I want to get to the small stuff, the D3 stuff, but when you went to the big Power Five games, did you find yourself like wishing you were at some tiny college that no one's heard of that you kind of have to explain to us where you are on social media that day? Or did you still, is it still fun to go to, an ACC game or, we haven't even talked about the SEC. Did you go to SEC schools?
Oh, I went to an LSU game. I would like to have gone to more.
Okay.
I would say that was probably, if I could do
top, I hope they fed you, right?
If I could do, oh man.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's not a problem.
Yeah,
That's not a problem with LSU.
And no, it's not.
Just, there's a whole different subcategory of flavors that I did not know existed.
Yeah, they kind of have like six of their own umamis.
Yeah, my God.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But I would have liked to have gone to more SEC games. I will say that there's just, the question is, did I find more or less passion at the bigger
games? Yeah, yeah. Or no, that energy, that game day energy, like if you're drawing something out of these MAC games and you're still finding fan bases that, are screaming fuck you at each other while the rest of the country's not paying attention or whatever, was that more fun or less fun than like going to these, brand name events? It can just be different.
I would say there were so many times in the year where I wanted to be like, look, we showed up at this big corporate game and it sucked.
Right.
Like I was just at the national championship game and I was so ready to be like, why is it in Houston?
Yeah.
Why is it so expensive? Why is it? And then you go there and it gets you. It gets you.
Okay, good. Oh, okay.
It was the only place I did not. I mean, you could have put that Michigan game on Mars and they hadn't won a title since.
Right.
Forever.
What was the makeup of the stadium?
18-20.
That's what I thought.
It's unfair to Washington because I think that is a passionate and fun fan base. I saw Apple Cup
and it's
a great stadium. It's a loud stadium. The fans wanted to win that first national title in forever. Asking them to go to Houston and New Orleans back to back and to outspend Michigan fans.
Ooh, I hadn't thought about that. It is more it's expensive to go to the Rose, I guess, because LA, but just coming from Seattle, you're right, coming from the Pacific Northwest, that's an ask. I wonder how many people stuck and just said, like,
I'm just going to stay in.
Well, you could drive. I've done it. You could drive from New Orleans to Houston, no sweat.
Oh, for you to say that.
This is what makes me so happy now.
I didn't even think about Houston to Orleans. Well, that is like a nothing.
You were a veteran man, grow up a New Yorker in New York City, grow up in Manhattan, and now you are a veteran man of the road. So
Houston to New Orleans would be like an in my sleep situation. Literally, don't drive when you're tired.
Yes. And I respected the fact that I texted you today. You didn't text while driving, clearly. You waited. Longest drive that you made, a single run?
Well, I went from that Bowling Green Toledo game I was talking to Washington State.
How long did it take?
Tuesday to Friday. I mean, you could look it up on Google Maps. I was driving for pretty much that amount of time.
Did you do it? What did you do, straight or?
I got hotel rooms both nights in between.
Okay.
For a long haul like that, if you're going to drive day after day, you're probably going to need to get a.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said to myself early on, I'm not going to die to go to a football
game. We're very proud of you for that.
I would say the longest, the most aggressive drive I did was, to answer your question, the last question you asked, was there any place I went to and did not feel passion?
Yeah.
I went to Ohio State, Penn State, and I'm not going to say there wasn't passion there,
okay, but
it didn't spark joy.
Ohio State
people love Ohio State football, and they have very high expectations for Ohio State football.
As they should.
And they have a remarkable game day experience. That stadium is full up, and it is big, and it is loud, and it is glamorous, but I was not happy there, and I don't think the people there were happy to win a very big college football game.
Okay.
They were just like, they were just looking forward at like, okay, we got that done. Now we have to think about beating Michigan. So that week I decided after that game that I needed to, instead of seeing the big games, go to the small games. So
perfect transition.
I put up a poll to see if my followers agree with me, and they did.
Okay.
And I drove from Virginia Tech I was staying in Salem, Virginia, to Orange City, Iowa, which is in the northwest corner of Iowa near South Dakota, which is about a 20-hour drive. And I did about 17 hours of it in one day, straight shot from Salem to Des Moines. And I saw this game between the top two ranked NAIA teams. I've said that acronym so many times, and they need a consonant.
They do.
NCAA.
Or we just start saying NAIA.
Whoa. Have you run this by the NAIA people?
I have not.
We just did.
Did we just rebrand?
We just rebranded
it. I feel like this is when our crew created Maction on accident. We never got the credit. So NAIA it is.
NAIA. So I went to that NAIA game, and it was during a snowstorm, and I had a lovely time. There were probably about...
Hang on. This was not a... Now, I am a Southerner, but this was
they
a...
They got mad at me for saying it was a blizzard, because they were like...
Okay. This was a shitload of snow.
What's a blizzard?
This is also what time of year again?
October 28th.
Correct. Now, again, Southerner, and I understand that. I look on my phone, I see Roger's, like, in the third act of Fargo.
Well, it got into the beard. And
yes.
Mustache.
Yes. I mean, this was like Maine or something. Was this unexpected weather? It surely had to add to the joy of a thing like that.
Yes, absolutely. They told me there probably would have been more fans if it wasn't snowy.
Yeah.
But it added to the joy. I think the players on that team, the fans, they were like, this guy was up to snow. Because they went to the NAIA, the NAIA National Championship.
There you go.
And they lost, unfortunately. And then one of the guys on the team, one of the parents of the guys on the team was like, I'm a South Dakota State fan. I'll see you in Frisco for the national championship. And indeed, I was on the field after South Dakota State won. And this guy from Northwestern, Iowa, the team name is Northwestern. I went to Northwestern,
right?
Big Ten, but the Northwestern Red Raiders. Everyone in that town knows me now in Orange City, Iowa.
That's amazing.
I'm the local celebrity.
That's
and
awesome.
This guy, his kid was on the team, and we met on the field at the FCS National Championship, and he was like, you're the guy who was at the Morningside game. And I was like,
that's amazing.
Then we'll remember that game playing in that snowstorm. I don't know how they play football in it. I don't know how your hands throw or catch a football. I don't know how you pass block.
What kind of systems were they? I mean, did they just go into like the option, or are they actually?
They played the same football they played in Durham for the national championship. They didn't. It didn't seem to be like they changed. They didn't punt as much. There were some more
interesting. Forced out okay, teams.
But yeah,
I guess that makes sense.
Those are pretty high powered offenses. I think they average like 50-ish points a game, and they put up 30 plus. Despite like very obvious snow related difficulties, they were moving the ball.
You mentioned to me that you would crash with people
a few times.
What was the did you have like a rule set in place on I met you on the internet and now I'm in your house?
I did not really vet people if someone said they had a spot for me.
Beautiful. Did this lead to anything strange?
No, I think
all good.
I'm from New York, and people don't have guest rooms in New York.
Okay.
We can't afford them. And my understanding, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, is that people who have a guest room are sort of happy to see it used.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
I often felt like I was probably going to be imposing on them in some way. But generally, people seemed like, please come here. And I think also there's a cultural amount of we want to do hospitality. And
in New York. As a Southerner, I would say you're kind of leaning
like,
into it.
Almost it would like people would have been insulted if I turned them down.
This is very true. I'm both happy and sort of relieved that you caught on to that. It's almost an expression of it's almost sort of putting a validation out there, like, please come into my home and eat my food and you'll leave with food and I'll make sure that I can give you enough food to get you on your journey. And if you reject it, then it's a referendum on me.
Yes. And I felt there were a couple of people who I stayed with a second time. And like they knew that I was coming the first time because I was going to a game in their city or something.
Yeah.
And then when I was coming back there, I felt a little bit weird about asking. But I got the sense that I hopefully didn't put anyone out. I tried to stay out of people's ways. I honestly enjoyed staying in people's houses more than I enjoyed staying in hotels.
Okay.
Because hotels don't have dogs in them.
Meaning you got to meet other people's dogs.
Meet other people's dogs.
Either way, just to close the loop, never met the Washington mascot. That's what cost them the title.
That's why they lost. Yeah, I went to 3 Washington games,
and you never
didn't
guy
at all.
Let us see. So one of the things we learned at SZD Live was we have a more substantial amount of UW fans than we realized. So I'm gonna need those of you listening to run this up the flagpole and maybe prove it. Like, you didn't reverse curse them or anything.
You know, not intentionally.
Not intentionally.
I think maybe karmically, yeah.
I mean, Michigan doesn't have a dog.
It's such a good dog. And
seems like
they're one I like. I mean, I'm just an asshole with some Twitter followers writing like 3 hours before, like, let me pick the mascot. And it's got to be tough for them to coordinate.
So let's jump back on that, since it's so impossible to let you pet a dog, but yet you ended up in a blimp.
Well, Goodyear has...
Was that then just Bird Dog and social media and finding you?
Yes, it was, yes.
Okay, that's okay.
And they told me...
We live an effective social team. Good for them.
Yes, no. And it was... I had this thought during the Cheez-It Bowl, watching the Cheez-It mascot beg people to eat Cheez-Its.
And I
while the Goodyear blimp was flying...
I want to point out, Roger has one of his hands is in Cheez-It nail polish right now.
Nails done at the Cheez-It. And I was thinking, like, wow, like... We're looking at two different eras of branding.
Yeah.
Because the reason...
I didn't think about it that way.
The reason the Goodyear blimp exists is to market Goodyear tires.
Sure.
Yeah. They just make dirigibles, Goodyear did.
Yeah.
They made blimps in the 1910s and 1920s. It's in Akron. They used to play in the Rubber Bowl. And anyway, they still do the blimp. They no longer are marketing the dirigibles, but they're marketing the tires. So it is a very expensive thing to do for branding. But everyone, when you think of the blimp, you think of
the
tires. It makes more sense to me than that weirdo rubber tire guy from France who knows all the restaurants, the Michelin man. Why do I trust the Michelin man to know which
one? I walked into that dad joke. I wish I had a camera on my face.
That wasn't a dad joke. Why does that guy know which restaurants are good?
I don't want to spend much time on the zeitgeist because you did the opposite of the zeitgeist this year. However, you went to a lot of bowl games.
Yes, and it's kind of interesting seeing the difference between a bowl game and a college football game, you know?
Okay, so good. So this is where, you know where I'm going with this. Apparently, they're all dead and dying.
They're not all, but a lot of them are not being played for football purposes. You know, the Cheez-It Bowl flashing my pretty nails.
They are
really a lot prettier last week.
You got to keep it up then. So you got to go color match the two Pantones. Yeah. And then,
I'll ask the Cheez-It marketing team for some more. Like, the Cheez-It Bowl was packed in Orlando between Iowa and Tennessee because those are good teams.
Fun trip to take, too. You get kids and stuff. You go to Orlando.
Not fun for me. I was very tired.
You didn't swing through, like, Universal and hit Harry Potter or anything?
No, I went to 2 games of that stadium. I did not have a chance to go to Universal now, sadly. But, no, like, that game was packed, but so many of them are just there to fill airtime.
Yeah.
You know, and they're far from where your team is playing, and they
don't feel like a reward.
They don't feel like a reward. I'd say two games really stood out to me as like, why is this happening? The first is the more under the radar one, which is I went to the 68 Ventures Bowl in Mobile, Alabama.
Okay.
It was at USA Stadium, South Alabama Stadium.
Yeah, it's a good
South
stadium.
Alabama was playing.
Yeah.
They won.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
60.
Yeah.
There's a big fight afterwards.
That's right.
They were very excited. But
Eastern Michigan
did right. not need to be there. Eastern Michigan did not want to be here.
Does it feel like I've never done a bowl game where it's literally the home stadium?
There are a couple of Liberty Bowls, I think, maybe that I could have done.
Memphis played in the Liberty Bowl
right.
this year. But did, those teams won.
Did it feel like just a regular season out of conference road game? Or
the third.
Yeah.
It did. And
are there any EMU fans there?
I imagine they were mainly parents.
Okay.
And can you imagine spending flying Detroit to Pensacola, probably not the cheapest flight.
No, sir.
Two or three nights of hotel rooms.
Delta through Atlanta.
You think they had to connect?
I fly into Pensacola because that's where my family, like that's the beach town.
Yeah, the yeah. of them to ask.
Yeah.
And to spend that amount of money to see your kid get their asses kicked. Probably $1,000 each.
It does seem weird, too, on the other side that, remember, let's say, big finger quotes here, reward for your great season. Oh, by the way, you're just going to play a home game. Like, it's I imagine
and
it's that.
It was still better for them than for the other
team. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's the same for Memphis, too, I would suppose. But, like, it's just also deflating that you don't get to go to a warm place, or a fun place.
Well, I was talking to people up at the Western game, the Maction game. Sorry, I'm abbreviating Western Michigan to Western.
Everyone has it regionally. It's funny because you said Northwestern, and I've been married to someone from Louisiana for so long.
I'm a picture Northwestern still.
Yes. Purple. That's what I'm thinking of.
When bought some tacos from someone wearing a Northwestern state shirt yesterday.
Nice. In Memphis?
Shreveport.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
In between Houston and Memphis. Sorry. Yes. The people in Western Michigan were like talking about how they prefer it when they get into, basically the options for MAC teams are the Bahamas Bowl and the Detroit Bowl.
What is this wing? My God.
But it's almost better for them to make the Detroit Bowl.
Just in terms of volume and people who can go.
Yes.
Yeah. Not cheap to go to the Bahamas last minute.
Not cheap. Yeah. You know, what if your parents don't have a passport? You're playing
right.
on the team and
yeah.
you want them to come see you play in that game. But anyway, the whole thing is so out of like touch with why it started. And I'm not saying it's bad.
Okay.
I think it probably needs some recalibration, you know? The money, I think the marketing money is going to come pouring in because of how successful the marketing grab it is. The Pop-Tart, the living and now dead Pop-Tart took over the internet for a week.
I mean, I'm not telling tales here, but, you know, the average IQ of the Washington Post reader I discovered this year is infinitely higher than any other outlet I've ever worked for. Uh-huh. But their college football IQ is substantially lower. And the amount of natural interest I saw in that event is when you sort of know when it crosses the Rubicon.
I was interviewed by a Washington Post trend section reporter. I'm not sure what section it was.
Love it. Yeah.
And not culture section, I think.
Okay.
You know,
I have to check on that.
About my experience being fed by the Pop-Tarts mascot. So
what was that like?
Deeply strange, you know, very unsettling.
I saw it. I remember it is a David Cronenberg type of moment.
Yeah, we want to talk about the difference between the bowl games and the regular games. There's a big difference between the mascots for the bowl games who are just there to market and the mascots of college football teams who are there to represent their school in a positive manner.
Sure.
They are not allowed to be horny.
It's not where I thought you were going. It seemed like the Pop-Tart was in fact very horny.
Like very much in that like.
Did it jam? It jammed a real Pop-Tart into your mouth.
Yeah, I brought the Pop-Tart down from the stand.
Yeah, sort of without consent.
And yeah, like, you know, that sort of online, like, so horny that they want to die person.
Yeah.
Open workspace.
That's just fine.
blogging on their computers. I don't know what jobs people have besides blogging. They're definitely not blogging.
I don't know what they do. I honestly don't know what people do in my workspace in Nashville, and I can tell they don't know what I do, but they have intercepted me on calls or recording a Single Wing, which is my solo show on SCD, and the looks I get are fantastic.
I just don't know what jobs people have, which is something I talk to people a lot on this trip, and also something I probably need to ponder as an unemployed.
No, you're good. You're good. Just keep winging it. Look how far it's gotten you. Look, dude, you're covered
in 43 states.
You're covered in marketing right now.
Is the number one app for all of your money needs.
Here we go. Come on. I know you got more, right?
I used it because they have a driver score function that told me that I was doing a good job driving.
Oh, nice.
Could help save you money on your insurance.
Moneyline. There you go.
Yeah, they I went out with those sponsors and returned with
I know our friends at Home Field were helping.
Home Field's gave me shirts for every game.
Right.
How did you get the shirts?
Great question.
It's like a dead drop or?
So week zero, I had them ship a bunch to Ryan Nanny.
Okay. Cause I saw you had a rainbow shirt on.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, eventually, they do an awesome job. They got slammed with orders ahead of the season.
Yeah.
And logistically, they were trying to fulfill them and also trying to fulfill my needs. But I was coming up with where I was going 3 or 4 days before getting there, and there was just no possible way.
No, yeah, yeah.
So on 5 separate occasions, I drove through Speedway, Indiana, and went to their warehouse and picked up shirts.
You re-upped. I love it.
And they were awesome with me, and I felt bad because I can tell how much of a logistics crunch they were in.
But, yes. The good brand, for those of you who listen to our show and consume the media, is as earnest a family operate. I don't think I still get the vibe sometimes from like our listener, not like a hardcore SCD subscriber, but just people think it's like a mini Fanatics. It is not.
No, they're people. They're like, they're run by.
And they're cooking in it in the back, so to speak. As you order.
I went through their warehouse, and they have a personal connection to literally every shirt that's coming off the line because someone is.
I love it so much. Like
doing it and dealing with it. And
I love
not only Rock, but just throughout the trip, they were very helpful to me. So this is. You all know this. I now have about 30 Home Field shirts, and I do not have storage
space for 30 Home Field
shirts. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I'm not sure if there's interest in Gabe Ward, Road Rods.
Auction it off, baby. You never know.
I think for like a donation or something, if you want a Home Field shirt, get in touch with me.
I mean, look, OnlyFans have been started for less.
Yeah, a very similar name to a company, like
almost sands
Home Fields,
right?
They're very different industries.
They are slightly different. This is my final question here.
Yeah.
You are as knowledgeable of the sport as anyone I've ever met and have a great, always had.
Much less knowledgeable this year.
So this is where I'm headed. You've always had a great vantage of it. I've always appreciated and admired where you were approaching either a common subject or something that was off kilter, like, you always got there in an interesting way. This is not a metaphor for the road, but what did you learn this year as you sort of, you immersed it and also separated from it at the same time? Because I can tell you as an old pissy veteran, when you do one game, you genuinely see one game and you kind of get like, now you can kind of get shit on your phone. But even 5 years ago, if you're in a stadium, your fucking LTE is going to be blocked. And like, so what did you learn? Because again, I sit here having, I had to do macro view more so than any other year of my career. And I felt like I got poisoned from
it. Exact opposite. Cause I very much come from, my job for so many years was watch every single football game that happens.
Yeah.
And I have a very, I don't want to like trivialize it by saying it's like ADD-ish. But I can watch 3 games at the same time and look at Twitter on my phone and have a pretty good idea of how
well, that was your job. I mean,
that was my job. And I think that's probably why I was good at it. And this year I would just go to one game and watch it. So for example, I saw one Texas game this year and they lost. And then it turned out they were in the college football playoff. I didn't see any of their other games. So what did I learn? First of all, that's a funny concept. I'm not trying to throw shade on the people who vote in the AP poll by saying that there's no way that makes sense.
There's no way that makes sense.
That someone covered.
Or the coaches, for that matter.
And devoting their entire life to one team could ever possibly pay attention to all the other teams. In fact, I'm saying that as praise for the way that these people do their jobs on a daily basis.
Yeah.
But then again, I guess we don't really do that anymore. We do the playoff poll. I also highly doubt that the athletic directors are that.
Not a chance.
That the ones who are on that committee.
Not a chance.
It seems like silly to me that they have to shake someone's hand all day at a game, and then the next day they have to rank the other 24 teams, you know? It was sort of my big takeaway is that it is fundamental. This is stupid, and maybe I'll come up with a better one, but I have some more time to think
about. Well, yeah, you can workshop it.
There really is no way to, as much of a TV product as great as a TV product as it is, I have loved college football watching it at home. It does not translate.
Oh, okay.
You have to see it in person. You have, like, it's, I'm not saying the TV is bad. I'm saying that it is different in person. You will feel it. You will love it. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, go see whatever college plays near you, even if the game is empty-ish.
Yeah.
Even if it's not a Division I team, check it out. You will have a good time. You will see it in a different way than you do on TV. I'm not saying that it is better or worse. I am saying that it's an experience that needs to be cherished and needs to be valued. And that this is really like, I'm getting like the biggest, dumbest thing. Oh, it's probably different to anything in person. But like, after spending my whole life watching it at home, I kind of went into it expecting it to be different and better. And I think it was. And I felt that way every week, every game I went to, you know, just like a level of it's, and I'll also say, even when I went to dead games, they're not really dead. There is, like, to have a football game, there needs to be a certain amount of community and life around. Like, you cannot have just there will always be family members. There are always bands. There's always someone there. There is an atmosphere at every game, even if there isn't.
There's someone's career, you know, whether there's
players,
whether there's 150,000 or 1,500 or 15 people on a Tuesday night, like there's some young OC or defensive backs coach or fifth year senior, and it's the last time they're doing it. Like, and they're 110% in to that moment.
On the TV, they're dots, and up close, they're people. You know, you go and you see a game with no one at it, and you see how much it means to a player to succeed when they've worked all week to succeed at that moment. You see how much it sucks to get your ass kicked. You see how much it sucks for the families of those players who are watching their person going through something hard, like not fun. You know, it's like,
yes,
when you get close to it, it is fundamentally different, even if it's not like the big game. And the big games are awesome. The national championship is awesome, right? I'm just saying any game you go to, you will feel something different from you did just flipping on the TV because it's there to put on, you know?
That makes sense. Anything you want to plug or anything you want to promote?
As I've gotten towards the end of this, I've been a little bit more like, people have been asking me, like, what's next?
Yeah, bro, build that brand.
People have been asking me if they can Venmo me money. Eventually, I'm going to post YouTube videos of all of my travels. Next week, I'm going to work with some people on, like, figuring out how to get them edited. When they go up, my name is Roger Sherman. Please find them and watch them. And hit like or subscribe or whatever, but whatever platform I'm putting stuff out on, you know, I'm sure we'll find a way to get it into your Twitter feed. And it meant a lot to me to pull all this off, and it'll mean a lot to me if you check out what I did.
Roger Sherman, you will be sleeping in your own bed tonight.
Cannot wait. Holy shit, Nick Saban's retiring? ESPN?
Are you serious?
Yeah, dude, look at my phone.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, dude. Hey, that's a good podcast ender, huh? Nick Saban considered among your... Yeah, no, that this is on my phone for real, right?
Holy shit.